Book of Psalms, chapter 69, verse 29. Psalm chapter 69, verse 29. But I am poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or bullock that had horns and hoofs. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the eyes that are always watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for the hands that are always molding us. And thank you, Lord, for thy pillar of cloud and pillar of fire that is leading us by day and by night. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, who bless us to endure the long sufferings, who help us to overcome the valleys, who bless us, O Lord, to walk through this narrow path. For thy word is lamp unto our feet. And it is the Comforter who teaches to understand the scripture, to understand the perfect will of God. Thank you, Lord, for comforting us in such an uncomfortable world. Thank you, Lord, for healing us in such a world of sickness. Thank you, Lord, for being the light in such a world of darkness. Thank you, Lord, for the revelation of the truth, the understanding in such a world of madness. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord, for the truth that we all receive in such a world of falsehood and false doctrines. What a mercy, O Lord, we all received. What a grace, O Lord, we are all rejoicing now. May you bless us, Lord, to remember your goodness. And may you bless us, Lord, that we bless the name of the Lord without forgetting who you are, remembering your goodness. The Lord who healed our iniquities, the Lord who forgave our sins. May you help us, Lord, that we remain humbled, humiliated, sincere, rooted in the word of God until the very last breath of our life. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Praise the Lord for all his goodness. We thank the Lord for today. The Bible says, teach us to number our days, not counting our birthday, how long we are going to live, or how healthy, how beauty our flesh is going to be, but rather teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And there is only one wisdom, knowing Jesus Christ. And knowing Jesus Christ is conforming to his image. And conforming to his image is only possible in the period of grace time. And the Lord says, do not despise my grace. Because grace cannot be despised by anyone. Because that is how precious the blood of Jesus Christ, to the point whereby no one can boast, I have successfully profaned the name of the Lord. No, we cannot. Who are we to give a bad report to God who is good? Who are we to say the blood of Christ that was shed on Calvary, few drops of it became vain because I was so powerful? Who are we? But the Lord says, do not lose your blessings. Do not forsake my promises, because the loser is you and me, not him. Victory in the name of the Lord. Victory by the blood of Christ. Because the Lord is always victorious. The Bible records him as a victorious redeemer who have never lost a battle. Amen? Amen. So the Lord says, be holy because I am holy. Be victorious because I'm victorious. Be an overcomer because I'm an overcomer. So now today, by God's grace, we will continue the meditation on the two sides of prison. One is where the Lord keeps, constrains us, confines us for us to grow, for us to focus, not to be distracted by the sealing of the Holy Ghost. On the other side, the consequences of our flesh, the imprisonment of our own thoughts, the punishment of the Lord's judgment upon our lives, that we are thrown into a prison of valleys, prison of backsliding, prison of pride, prison of arrogance, frustration, self-loathing, you can name it. Whatever is not glorifying the name of the Lord, whatever is not the fruit of the Holy Ghost, is a prison of flesh that can keep people crippled, keep people lame, keep people frozen, keep people dead inside the tomb. So we have to go out of those traditions, those tombs, and run and hide in the beautiful prison, beautiful confinement, divine sealing of the door that has the blood of Jesus Christ. Once we go inside, we cannot come out. If we come out, the plague is waiting for us and to say, "Hi, I'm here." And who sent the plague? The Lord. Who wanted the blood to be applied? The Lord. Who wanted to protect? The Lord. Who destroyed? The Lord. Who created? The Lord. The Lord who giveth, the Lord who taketh. So with fear of God filled in our hearts, with reverence and honor filled in our mind, filled in our soul, filled in our spirit, if we do not partake in the heavenly gathering, which can be a Sunday service, which can be a Friday service, which can be a prayer gathering, whatever it is, God does not come in small form in any of such gatherings. He is great, He is almighty, He is who He is. Every time we gather in His name, 2 or 3, 20 or 30, 2,000 or 3,000, 2 million or 3 billion, the Lord will come in one simple form. I am that I am. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Today, yesterday, forever. Teach us to number our days, to remember the grace you received, to remember the mercy you received, and what I have done all these days, all these months, all these years, since the day I was baptized, since the day I received the truth, since the day I stepped inside the church. How many people are receiving the truth in my life, through my life? How many people are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ because of my life, because of the Lord who worked through my life? What is the sweet aroma? What is the beautiful smell of the anointing oil that came out of me when the Lord broke my heart? So, the woman who broke the oil box to anoint the feet of Christ, that smell, that aroma filled the house. When the Lord broke our heart, repentance filled our life to understand who we are, to declare and profess all our sins, all our iniquities to be truth, and tell the Lord, "I'm not worthy." And the Lord says, "Of course I know, but He is worthy." Then He called us to be worthy of His calling. Amen. So when we walk in the narrow path, to the right side there are traps of prisons, to the left side there are traps of prisons. If we take one step to the wrong direction, one misplaced step, you will find yourself in a confinement. By then you realize it should have been years, months, days, or hours, or decades that are spent not inside the grace period. How the Lord defined captivity of Israel, how the Lord defined liberty of Israel, from that beautiful work of God, we can realize how He defined our captivity and how He defined our liberty. You know, when Egypt was successfully put all the people of Israel into the captivity, when they came to Egypt, they were about 70. Because Joseph called his father, Jacob, he gave an invitation, but that invitation is nothing, is meaningless, no life if God did not speak to Jacob. The Bible says God told Jacob, "Accept the invitation and go to Egypt." So Jacob went to Egypt.
The same way David, who received the anointing from the king's prophet Samuel, who went to the throne, when Jacob, the man Jacob, the person Jacob, whose name was changed to what? Israel. Israel, E-L, El Elyon, El Shaddai. So that person who received a new name from the Lord, he moved to Egypt as a family, just a people of 70 plus. But that 70 were thrown into an incubation period or a beautiful vineyard where they will multiply, 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 but yet it was called captivity. But the beauty is they were not destroyed when they were in captivity. They were destroyed when they were in liberty. Isn't it? There was no Holocaust to destroy people of Israel in those times. There was no enemy to come over them because Egyptians were giving them food, putting them into slavery, giving them food, and they were multiplying, multiplying for 400 years plus. By the time Moses was ready to lead Israel, they became a multitude already. So, the question is, was it slavery? Was it captivity? Or was it the Lord's confinement for his seeds to multiply in a safer place? They were tortured, nobody's denying that. They were mistreated, nobody's denying that. They were slaves, nobody's denying that. But the multiplication of the seed of Israel was not to be stopped by anyone. Even when they were in the slavery of Egyptians for 400 years plus. When they went into wilderness by the leadership of Moses and Aaron, who are nothing but the vessels of God, throughout the 40 years of wilderness, they still continue to multiply. But there was no enemies who had the power to take over the multitude of Israel, because they had no land, they had no kingdom, no money, no temple, no royal palace, nothing to attract the enemies. They were nothing but wanderers. To the enemies, they are like no people who have nothing. Until they come against them as a power, they have no reason to look up to them, because they were also in the biggest confinement of 40 years of wilderness, roaming here and there. But they could not escape from who? God. Who destroyed the most part of Israelites who left Egypt? Philistines, Ammonites, Egyptians. Great God Almighty, I am that I am. He destroyed them. The Bible says he wiped them off, those who disobeyed, those who did not glorify his name, those who could not see his perfect will, those who had no desire to move forward, but rather they only worship God for manna, and that water, and the food, and the miracle, and the safe promised land of Canaan, milk and honey, which is nothing but selfishness, selfishness, selfishness. So, as the scripture called all of us, the old man must die, the new man must be born again in the New Testament, how Jesus Christ came and baptized all of us by his atonement, sacrificed by the power of the Holy Ghost, the second generation was circumcised by Jesus Christ spiritually, by all of us, the second Adam, the last Adam. The same thing happened in the wilderness. Joshua had to circumcise the second generation because the first generation, they fell from grace. So those people who are complaining, I am in captivity, I am in slavery, come and deliver us, come and deliver us. God delivered them. But he also destroyed them. So what is prison to us? What is captivity to us? If safe haven is my house, the place that keeps you safe and sound spiritually, whether it is captivity or prison or sickness or suffering or some constrainment or some of your weaknesses, some of things that you lost, it works for your blessedness as long as you don't take one step away from the narrow path. It is God who is working in you. But the liberty that I desire, I want to go and build a big kingdom of Canaan. Because of the very same promised land, they were attacked all their lives by Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians, Romanians, Greek. Every single kingdom until today, they are being attacked. Why? Because they wanted a land, they wanted a kingdom, and they got what they wanted. They were scattered, they were destroyed, and the Lord is faithful, He is merciful, He knows that He would deliver His children, redeem His children, no matter what, and He's doing it. Amen? The Bible says, He that bless you will be blessed, and he that curse you will be cursed. Why? The name of Israel was given by God. His name is there. El Shaddai, El Elyon, His name is there. He is the one who gave the name to Jacob. You see how a single man changed into 12 tribes, and how a 12 tribes changed into a multitude, not because of liberty, my brethren, because of captivity. A good, beautiful, sound, perfect captivity. If those 430 years were not allowed, I'm telling you, Reuben, Simeon, all those violent brothers would have killed themselves. Isn't it? They were so violent to the point whereby they took revenge for what happened to their sister Dinah. Jacob cursed his very own sons for violence. When they were such a group of 70 plus, imagine they became a multitude. All the 12 tribes would have separated by each other from each other. They would have killed each other. And God saw this. He said, no, I will break your legs and put you in a place where you are grounded. Like how parents tell the children, today you are grounded. And God said, 400 years plus you are grounded. Safe haven. Food was given. Safety was there. They were not destroyed. So I pray the Lord grant us a discernment. Which prison am I in? The prison that blessed my flesh, or the prison that quickeneth my spirit? The captivity where I grow spiritually in the word of God, sealed by the Holy Ghost, or the liberty of my flesh which I destroy myself? Isn't it? So let's read book of Psalm 69 again, chapter 69, verse 32 and 33. Chapter 69, it says, the chief musician says, the humble shall see this and be glad. In the New Testament, whenever Jesus Christ healed the blind, what does it mean? He destroyed the eyes of pride, the heart of pride, the mind of pride, so that the humble see this. See what? See the truth. See the revelation. See the beautiful face of Jesus Christ that is drawn as a painting in the scripture. The Lord says it is very simple. Humble shall see this. Pride cannot see. Own understanding cannot see. Self-righteousness cannot see. Nothing can see, but the humble shall see this. Seeing Him, seeing His truth, needs heart of humbleness, heart of eyes of humbleness, mind of humbleness, which means complete submission. You know, then you will be completely surrendered when the Lord put you into the prison. Because that is how who we are. Imagine whenever your loved ones were so sick, they were in the deathbed, in the hospital ICU. You become the spiritual person, the best version of the spiritual person who you are for a few days. My brothers, pray for me. Pray for my uncle. Pray for my grandfather, grandmother, wife, husband, daughter, uncles, brothers, sisters, whoever it is. We ask for prayers and we also join the prayers. We go on our knees. We read Bible. We say, Lord, I love you, Lord. Then few days later, healing is given. Few weeks later, we embrace the old man of ourselves. We become confident. The few minutes of gathering becomes few seconds. The few seconds of thanksgiving become dead silence. And we wait for another sickness to come. We wait for another leg to be broken. We wait for another storm to hit. Then we become spiritually awakened again. Oh Lord, I want to sing songs unto Thee. The same lips that ask for prayers, few years down the road, would despise the prayers. Why need to pray for one another? We are so busy. But the same lips will beg for prayers when the Lord breaks the leg. You know why? He knows when the sheep jump outside of their territory. If it is a sheep, the shepherd will always break the leg. Not to hurt us, not to destroy us. Because that breaking is nothing. He can make it back. But that shows us how mindful He is to you. How faithful He is to you. And how loving and how assured that He thinks about you. If He do not break our leg, my brethren, we should be even more scared. than being broken by him. Why? The Lord chastened only his children. He did not chasten anyone else. Why? Because God would not go against his perfect will. He would not go against his free will. So if the Lord threw the people of Israel into prison, because God gave a promise to Abraham, I will take care of your seeds. He gave a promise. He stays true to Abraham. He stayed true to Isaac. He stayed true to Jacob. Then he stays true to every single tribe until the very last church age who we are today. He is faithful. He is truthful. It is us who goes ups and down, and we give a name, the Lord allowed me into valleys. But the truth is, we rolled down by ourselves. He didn't push you down. Why God pushes down? What is the pleasure for him in that? Why God needs to hurt us for no reason? If we do that, he will lose his name, righteous God. He can't do it. So my brethren, I want all of us to understand, every single valley you experience in your life, tell yourself, I deserve this. It is on me. Why? The Lord is holy and righteous. And when you say that, you would look at back the same ups and downs, then you would correct your understanding. This is because of him, because of her, because of this, because of that. The Lord would say, take an eraser, erase everything. You would see because of me. Why? Because of me is Adam. Be a man of God. Because of me is Eve. Be a woman of God. What is it? My God is holy in righteousness. How come this can happen without my life as a role to play in it? Amen? So now, when you have this understanding, you are released from the pain of your past. Because that is also a prison. The biggest, worst, invisible prison is a prison of your mind. Your mind is locked in some thought. The Lord needs to come and take a hammer, hit your head spiritually, and to break the shell to come up. But he is waiting, but he won't hit you. Why? You should tell him, hit me now. Because if he hit you, he's attacking you. He won't hit us. He won't break the shell if you don't tell him, here I am. So by God's grace, when the people of Israel were going ups and downs, you could see very clearly it is not because of God. It's because of them. It's because of who they are. So God had to be the faithful, righteous God who he is, but yet also had to be the loving, merciful God to them. So he was keep on preserving them. He was keep on shielding them. The humble shall see this one single beautiful line of what happened to people of Israel in the wilderness and a touch of God throughout the seven church ages. The humble shall see this. Wives, submit to husband. For what? Because there's only one head, Jesus Christ. We have no head. He is the head. Amen? We are called the body of Christ, below the head. He is the head. We conform to his image, which is the bread of life, the word of God. So now humble shall see this, that is opening the door of understanding. Look at the next verse. And be glad. How many of us are sad? For no reason. Not today, for a long time. What is the point of feet washing and communion, my brethren? Imagine this. You wash the feet of your brothers, sisters wash the feet of sisters. And few months later, you still remember the pain, some problem that happened between you both many months ago. Let me tell you, you did not have feet washing. You had a foot massage. Yes, it's true. Washing means wash away, erasing it from the memory, erasing it from your life, that it is not there. It doesn't exist. It's a reminder of how God forgives and forget your iniquities. But what we do? I remember 30 years back, 20 years back, 10 years back. I'm very good in remembering. The Lord would say, can I do the same? He is very good in remembering also. Not for 10, 20 years, for 6,000 years he can remember every single second of every single one's life. But the Lord says, I have chosen to forget. Correct? I have chosen to forget. You did not make me to forget. He has chosen you and he has chosen to forget. So when we wash the feet, we wash our life. We wash the pain and suffering and the problem between the whole congregation. We erase everything. If you remember this, something is terribly wrong. And if you also enter into that divine gathering without a proper heart, proper preparation, without no sincere, truthful preparation as a congregation, as a servant of God, read the verse, those who partake in the communion, feet washing in an unworthy manner, what the Bible says, he eateth and drinketh unto his own, what, salvation, own victory, own exaltation, own glory, damnation. Damnation. What the Lord says, you curse yourself, you destroy yourself, and you rebuke yourself, and that is called own damnation, which is self-loathing, self-harming. They that err in faith pierce themselves with so many sorrows. So what the Bible says, humble shall see and be glad. Because today is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. How? By being humble to see, by receiving the joy of the Lord, and you will be glad. What is glad? We can be sad. That is godly sorrow. Of pain, burden, of failure, valley. That is perfectly fine because we are people filled with emotions. But we cannot be sad in which God's name is not glorified. If we are sad in things where the name of the Lord is not glorified, which means we are destroying ourselves. Which is similar to the man who was sleeping in the tombs, looking for a sharp stone and hurting himself. That's what happened to children this time. Young ones this time. The self-harming rate is rapidly increasing, which was spiritually showed in the book of Mark, chapter 5, chapter 6. Be glad. The Lord says, be holy, be glad. If something comes against our joy, our peace, our faith, our trust in one another, something is compromised, your mind has been arrested by a police officer called flesh. You need a release. Every one of us need deliverance. From your sickness, from your affliction, from your thoughts, from your life, from everything, we all need deliverance. The word deliverance is completely different from healing. If a man of God, a woman of God, goes through a pain in the heart for losing the loved one, you need healing. If a man of God, a woman of God, goes through a pain because of what you want to be, because of what happened to you, you need deliverance. Because something clinged onto your mind that is not of God. If we say, my grace is sufficient to thee, then what happened to the sufficient grace in our life? If we say, the Lord's love and mercy is sufficient for me, then why this sadness cannot be destroyed by the joy of his salvation? Which means you are in a prison. We are in a prison. That break of the door has to happen. That is why the Lord has another name, breaker of chains. Why? He don't want to open the lock. Because it was not locked in the first place. It was a chain that we put on ourselves. The Lord comes and take a double-edged sword and he cut it. And he releases, delivers us from the prison that we built by our very old self. So what we said last Sunday, Jeremiah was put into prison. Made by who? Made by the princes, by themselves. God did not make that prison. Correct? The Bible records it so clearly. They made the prison by themselves. And they throw Jeremiah into it. So now, the chief musician is singing, praying, and also preaching to us. Verse 33, he says, for the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. My question is, if you are a prisoner, why the Lord calls you my prisoner? Do you see how the word is written here? David says, the Lord despiseth not his prisoners. He did not arrest you in the first place. What do you mean by his prisoners? His children, praise the Lord. His seed, praise the Lord. His congregation, praise the Lord. His prisoners, should I say praise the Lord? Or should I wait to see what it really means? His prisoners, the identity of you belong to him is not changing irrespective of what happens to your life. As long as you believe. The Lord says, even if you are in a prison, the Lord says, I can call you my prisoner. Because he can transform what happened to you in a profitable manner if you receive it humbly in the right way. The captivity of Israel worked for the better, for they became a mightiest army in the day of David and Solomon. Nobody could defeat them. because they multiplied in the captivity. If they were not multiplied, if they killed themselves, then there is no kingdom of Israel. David would not be born. You read the next verse. Verse 1, verse 29, please. Verse 29, I want you to remember how David identified himself. But I am poor and sorrowful. So David says, Lord, I want to be glad, I'm sorrowful. Lord, of course, I'm the king of Israel, richest, strongest, mightiest king. But Lord, I'm poor. The king presents himself to the King of Kings by telling, I am poor. If I do not have you, I am poor. Forsake me not, O Lord. Do not leave me, Lord. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord. And David said, I am poor if you are not with me, if you are not in me. I am sorrowful if your joy is not in my heart. That is verse 29. In verse 33, he claimed the promise. For the Lord heareth the poor, because David said, I am poor. And for the Lord can make people to be glad, because David said, I am sorrowful. So now, let's read chapter 70, verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me, and make haste to help me. So that is the first verse of next chapter. So David says, Lord, do not delay, Lord. Come and deliver me. He did not say, heal me. He did not say, heal me. The spirit of truth is spirit of discernment. A-B-A, nay-B, nay. Jesus Christ asked the people who were sick and tell them, what is that you want? To test whether they are in the right mind and know exactly what they want. If they tell him, you know, I'm perfectly good, just I have a broken leg, just heal me. The Lord would say, you need deliverance. You are full of pride. Because the Lord can see. The truth can see the truth. And not just that. If we look at the way the Lord introduced himself in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Let's read it. Book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1. Book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1. Let's read how the Lord introduced his actions that he's going to commit, perform later on. He used the word distinctively, separately, to identify what he will do. 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. For what? To preach the gospel, good tidings unto the meek. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, that is healing, and to proclaim the liberty to the captives, that is deliverance. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Bound by him or bound by them. When people of Israel or the kings or even Samson or even Joseph, or even Apostle Peter, Paul, Silas, John the Baptist, Daniel, whoever thrown into a dungeon or a pit or a prison. There are only two possibilities. One, they went against God and facing some consequences of their own life. Two, they stood for God, they obeyed God and facing the consequences for the life of God's people. Because apostle said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now what if the enemy comes and tells you, flip it and tells you, everything that happens to you is God's perfect will. Because you are God's child, you have to go through sufferings. This prison is not made of men, it is made of God. It is okay. That is what he did in the Garden of Eden to Eve. It's okay, let's eat the fruit. Twisting the same word of God and flipping it from right to left. Speaking what's supposed to be spoken in the night, in the daytime. And speaking what's supposed to be spoken in the daytime to the nighttime. Flipping it. Turning to the opposite and taking it to advantage. But the Spirit of God is the spirit of liberty. Discernment of what I am doing, what happened to me, where I am now, what I should do is understanding. So Jesus Christ says in the gospel, after he finished the 40 days of temptation, wilderness, fasting, he comes to synagogue. The book of Isaiah was given to him. This is exactly what he was reading. And after that, he closed the book and sat down again. Proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So, what we discussed, two things. One, the person can be put into a prison, but the land can go into a captivity. Captivity needs deliverance. Prison needs opening the door. Amen? You are confined. All you need is a release. A deliverance. You are fine. You are not sick. You are not broken. You are completely whole, but you are confined. All you need is a hit and a break and a shout of victory, and the doors are open. So now, let's turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. Please be prepared with the file, the seed and the seal. Chapter 39, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. What do you mean by king's prisoners? Why the king called people my prisoner? As if he is rejoicing in the reputation. If someone has committed sin, you don't want to be identified with him, because it's shame. And book of Psalm, David says, the Lord heareth the poor and delivereth his prisoners. His prisoners. So in the earthly realm, Joseph was taken by his earthly master and put into an earthly prison, who is also managed by an earthly king, King Pharaoh. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Now the heavenly king comes into the scene. Which means, verse 20 means nothing. Why? The Lord was with him. So verse 20 means nothing. All you need is to ensure the Lord is with you. The word of God is glorified in your life. Verse 20, nothing. It means nothing to you. Because God can change it into a profitable captivity. He can multiply you. He can make it into a multifold blessing. What you thought was a fall will become the mighty rebound. You will come above. You will soar above. If you are watchful, humble, and discernfully understand what's happening to me. People are very busy in decoding prophecies outside, and they are completely blind, deaf and dumb. What is happening to themselves? We are always busy in watching outside, but what's happening inside the temple of the Holy Ghost, we don't take heed. What's the point? Witnessing all the miracles, witnessing all the doctrines, but became an audience, a spectator, and also witnessing the rapture. Oh, rapture. What? Rapture. I should be there. By the time you realize, the movie is over. My brethren, we are not called to be spectator. We are called to be the seed that manifests and grow and multiply. Doing the work of God relentlessly, not watching the work of God. Because there are people who can do that. We are not those. When Nehemiah built the wall, there were two group of people. Those who witnessed the wall was being built. 52 days. This work definitely wrought of God. Of course we know that. God does not need a report. Did you place one stone on that wall? I was busy in watching. I was measuring the length and breadth and width and everything. I was a plumb line holder. But God did not call anyone to be the plumb line holder. The Bible says Jesus Christ, he stand on the wall with a plumb line. The shepherd with a shepherd's staff, or the righteous judge with the iron rod. Which plumb line, we don't know. He will use it in our lives. Being part of the fulfillment of God's promises is our calling. Not to witness, not to understand, not to say that we see everything that's all happening. Enemies can do that. Serpent can do that. But the ones who conform to the image of Christ, only the seeds of God can do that. which needs liberty. We should know what we want and tell the Lord, Lord, this is who I am. I want this. The Lord would say, good. I am the truth. You speak the truth. Receive it. Because it's already there. Do you know our healings, our deliverance, our victories, our overcoming is not new. It's not created. It has been there all the days of our life. It just, we could not see it. Because David said, the humble shall see this. It is right in front of your face. Because Calvary is more powerful than your valley. The blood of Christ is more powerful than the sorrow of your heart. It is done. Let's go back to Calvary and take the victory. Let's go back to Calvary and take the healing. Let's go back to Calvary and take the deliverance. It is there. It is there. It is not something the Lord is going to consider, should I give or not. We are not something ordering something to be delivered. It is there. Now it says in chapter 39, what's happening to Joseph is, verse 21, it says, Joseph's master took him, but the truth is there is no master to Joseph other than God Almighty. On earth, he was under subjection and he obeyed in humbleness and humility. Why? Because Joseph knows God is in control of my life. If he allowed some supervisor in between me, I still obey. Why? God had put me in this prison. Can Joseph say, my grandfather, you know who he is? Isaac. You know who is the father of Isaac? Abraham. You know who is my father? Jacob. He will be killed if he boasts. Bragging and boasting is an invitation of being killed spiritually. David obeyed in silence. Throw into my prison, I'm going to the prison. Because verse 21 says, the Lord was with him. It is not Joseph was put into prison. The prison will be put into Joseph if God is with him. Do you think Apostle Peter and John and Paul and Silas were put into prison? No. The prison was put into them. Nobody can control them. They should decide, should we destroy this or just leave it? Because Apostle Paul says, I did not exercise my power. He chose to be humble because of the lamb that is sacrificial. He has to do the same thing. He said, right, what if the apostles had chosen to use their power like Prophet Elijah did? But he didn't. Obeying in faith and steadfastness. The Lord was with him. Is it that simple? No. And showed him mercy. Because the Lord knows Joseph needed mercy. What if Joseph says, Lord, I saw a vision of a strong man called Samson who may come in the future, who destroyed the pillars and killed all the 3,000 people. Give me the same strength. Let them put me in the prison. Let the prison be the foundation of the entire palace. And let me have the strength of Samson. Destroy the pillars and bring down all. I will also die. It's okay, Lord. I will kill all the enemies. No. Destruction is not the beauty of child of God. So Joseph wanted mercy, not strength. The problem with us is we ask different things in different times that is not matching at all. Because we think we know how to pray. But the Bible says, come to the reality. Come on, wake up. You do not how to pray. Period. But what do you think? I have learned 12 types of prayers. Now I'm mastering it. The Bible says you don't know how to pray. The Spirit must bear witness with our spirit to teach us how to pray. Because you are speaking to God Almighty, who is holy, a consuming fire. The heaven and hell bows to him. The whole earth trembles of him. You speak to him. You think, I told the Lord. What do you mean by told the Lord? Have you heard people? I told the Lord. What do you mean by you told the Lord? It is easy, right? I can say, I told the Lord. Okay. Did the Lord hear you? I don't know. Oh. The Lord heareth the prisoners. What if I speak like Potiphar? I told the Lord, I gave him some commandments, some petitions. If you don't fulfill, I'm not doing it. Which God? Dagon? Astaroth? Because the God whom we serve, he's a consuming fire. Malachi, chapter 1, what he says? If I am the Father, where is my honor? If I am the Creator, if I am the Master, where is my reverence? Where? The Lord says, where? I can't see. It's missing. Where? The Lord says, I can't see. Where is it? That I am the able, offering the best of my best. Oh, good. If I am the father, if I am the master, where is my reverence? Where is my honor? And Joseph was with the Lord, and the Lord showed him mercy, which means he was full of fear of God. He was full of submission. He was full of humbleness, because God cannot work with anyone who is not humble, who is not obedient. None. Because book of Isaiah says, if you trust and obey, you shall eat the good of the land. Good, easy. If you disobey and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. That is also other part of the word. I cannot ignore that, because it is single commandment. Now what happens here, verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Hallelujah. Keeper of the prisoner committed all the prisoners to Joseph. For what? The Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord showed him mercy. The Lord did not give him strength, because God is your strength. Having God in your life is your strength, is your healing, is your deliverance, is everything. It's an exceedingly great reward. Now that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Why? Do not be the hearers, but be a doer. Does it remind you of something? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 19. Let's go. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 19. Is it some random event, or is it a type and shadow of what about to come? 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 19. Chapter 3 verse 19. I will read from verse 18. For Christ also had once suffered. Why not twice? You don't have to. One Savior, one sacrifice, one atonement, one truth, one baptism, one spirit, one bride, one groom. Everything is one. God does not have to do twice as if he failed. He never failed. But the words of the Lord are refined, purified seven times like silver and gold. Why? Because we fail. That is why the Lord has to purify us. Seven church ages. One suffered for sins, hitting the bullseye, and the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. What? He went and preached to the spirits unto the prison. But there is only one spirit. God is spirit. Those who are called of God, seeds of God, are those who receive the spirit of God. And the Lord will reconcile all of them back to him. Like a big candle. Give light to multiple candles, but those light are not at their own. It is from the one single true light of the Creator. Then when all comes back, the flame will still remain the same shape. Isn't it? Imagine I'm holding a fire in this candle. If there are millions of candles who got light from this candle, if you want to bring and put the same flame here, this candle will not grow any higher, any lesser. It will remain what it is. He is who he is. I am that I am. We are not increasing him. We are not decreasing him. The Lord says, do not add anything to my word. Do not take anything to my word, because you are going against me. I am who I am. He spoke the word. Let it be. Nothing but the truth. No flavor. No sugar coating. So now, here, Jesus Christ went into the prison and preached to captives. Which means he preached the gospel of deliverance. Because it is captives, not sick people. You cannot go to a prison and give everyone Panadol, Paracetamol, free cough medicine, everything. They will say, open the gate for us. We are not sick. We are strong. We have a gym here. If you go to all the prison, they are all bodybuilders, you know. They will hit you and you will have broken ribs. They are not sick. They are physically fit. But the gate is stronger than their flesh. They need force. What we do? Let's wait in free will. They will take 100 years. They won't come. Deliverance needs the force of God. And the Bible says, the power of thy anointing destroy the yoke, not repair the yoke. Because that yoke is unholy to God. And God will destroy. That is why it's called, I am the breaker of the chains. He breaks, destroys. So now it says, in this beautiful chapter, verse 20, which sometime were disobedient. You think you are thrown into prison because of God's perfect, amazing will. The Lord says, sometime you were disobedient and you reaped the harvest of what you sowed. Isn't it? Because God is righteous. He cannot allow anything that is not righteous in your life. He can't. If you are a child of God, you must believe it. I'm not asking you. I'm commanding you in the name of the Lord. Better believe it if you are a child of God. God would not allow anything that is unrighteous in your life. It is you who embrace it by yourself. Because He is holy. In Him there is no darkness. Verse 20 says, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. What is the ark? A beautiful prison. No one can enter. There is a prison keeper. The God of heavens and earth who keeps the prison. Watching over the prison as He sang the song. That's why I wanted to sing the song. The ark is floating and God is watching. Tell me, how many enemies can wage a war against the ark? So sorry, they are all destroyed by the flood and just lying on the floor. Because the flood covered the whole earth and the ark is floating like a king. Nothing can stop, not even the mountains, my brethren. Because Noah was looking for a place to land and he sent a bird, could not find a place to land the feet. That is how powerful the flood was. The land had no face to show. The flesh should have no reason to boast. When the living water covers your life, you better be a seed of God covered by the living water, like a child covered by the water in the womb of the mother. Without the water, the child will die. It's living water. Pure definition of living water. Now, verse 21. While the ark was preparing, wherein a few, that is 8 souls, were saved by the water, the like figure whereunto even baptism that also now saves. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who also delivered Himself from the prison of death. They hold Him in the prison. Thought they hold Him in the prison. But He entered by Himself. He resurrected by the power of God Almighty. The power of resurrection was given to Him. He went there for a purpose. With a purpose. Because the Bible says God hath not purposed anything without a cause. Amen. Verse 22. Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. Let's go back. Genesis chapter 39. Which exactly happened to Joseph, as we all know. But before he became the one who was seated in the right hand of King Pharaoh in the earthly realm as a type of Christ, who also had all the power, all the authority given to him because the Lord was with him, even the enemies were forced to serve Joseph. When you are a child of God, and when the Lord wants to do some work in your life, even the enemies of your life will bow to God's will in your life. They cannot resist. The Lord will change their heart. They'll become your friends in Christ. That's why the Bible says, love thy enemies, not your love, with the agape. Because you will be surprised. The one who thinks he is your friend, he will betray you. And the one you think he is your enemy, he will become your friend. I'm pretty sure you all had such experience in your childhood. The one you thought, I hate this person, is the same person maybe you got married to. The same person maybe is the best friend of your life. Because our flesh has no discernment. Our discernment is nothing. Now, verse 23, chapter 39, Genesis. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What Jesus Christ said, Father in heaven, He has given all the seeds into my hand. And there is no one snatch God's children from the mighty hand of God, but He hath given everything unto my hand. The most powerful, mightiest, strongest prison is the hand of God. If you are not inside His hand, my brethren, you are vulnerable to be killed spiritually. You are vulnerable to be taken as a captive. You are vulnerable to maybe stand next to the hand like this, but not inside. When the Lord sends the wind, you will be taken out. If you are not inside, He is not holding you. Examine yourself. Are you inside the world's, heaven's strongest shelter, the hand of God, or are you outside the hand of God? Chapter 40, verse 1. Verse 1 to 4. Brother Clement, read this for us. Let's understand the flow of this prison, what it led to Joseph.
And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while.
They were custody in a while, that is New King James. I will read from King James, verse 4, chapter 40. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in what? The very first sermon of the series, the title was what? Put in word that the mind of the Lord should. Leviticus, Numbers. That was the main focus of the first sermon of the series. And it also happened to Joseph. He was also put in word, along with the prisoners, that the mind of the Lord should. Because Joseph interpreted the dream of the king, which no one could do, which happened the same to Daniel, to King Nebuchadnezzar. It's a repeat. No difference. Daniel was also put into prison. He was thrown into the den of lions as well. He was also given food, kept 3 years nourished, because Daniel was so wise, king wanted to take advantage of him. Same happened to Joseph. But the beautiful thing here is, orphans. Why Jeremiah was put into prison? King Zedekiah and the princes of the house of Benjamite, Jonathan scribe, they were offended. Jeremiah, we hate you, man. Every time you show your face, speaking about the prophecy, all against us, not speaking anything, exalting us. You should be in the captive. We want to silence you. Herodias, or John the Baptist, I want his head. I want the head as a jewel for my life. She got it. That's the worst thing can happen to her. Head of a man. Isn't it? Jezebel wanted the head of Elijah. Herodias wanted the head of John the Baptist. A woman desired for the head of the man. A shame and abomination unto the Lord. It's a rebellion against God's work. It's a rebellion against the marriage of the Lamb, that the bride may submit to the groom. Harlotry, Babylon at all sides. So now, the same happened to Joseph as well, when Potiphar's wife wanted the body of Joseph. What does it mean? Imagine the denominational churches, those who call that they are called by Jesus, and they want to use the body of Christ, the bread of the Lord, the word of the Lord, to their own dishonored gains. I'm making money. The Lord is with me. People are coming to us. They can defile the truth, introduce new doctrines, because God is with us, using the same word, but God is not there. Even the devil can preach, but no spirit, no life. There's a difference between speaking and preaching. Any man can speak, but only the man of God can preach. Because the anointing is the oil that brings forth the world from teaching to preaching. If not, we remain speaking. But the world loves speakers, motivational speakers who lift up my flesh. They love them. Babylon, wide is the gate, absolutely fitting the pattern. You know, many people, they call the seventh church messenger, Branham, as a cult. A man, even if you go to Wikipedia, he is called as doomsday cult. I was laughing. Happened to every single apostle, including Jesus Christ. Blaspheming the name of the Lord. Who? The Prince of Life, Prince of Peace. Absolutely identical to the pattern. Every single servant of God was despised, mocked, caused disappointment, frustration. Same as seventh church messenger. Jesus Christ, Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Silas, John, James, Andrew. Everyone were hated to the core. Why? World cannot love the word. is very straightforward, like a plumb line. It's a king coming from the Father in heaven. They were all hated, called as false prophets, where the false prophets are celebrated, and the true prophets were despised. Same, right? Which means we are standing in the apostolic ministry, because it is fitting the pattern of God from Genesis until now, because God is the same yesterday, today, forever. Joseph was thrown into prison for no reason, just because of hatred. And Jesus was crucified for no reason, just because of hatred. Why? Jealousy and greed. They were so scared of his popularity, isn't it? They had no reason to kill him, because the Pharisees, Sadducees, they saw him becoming famous. 5,000 people were listening to sermon. His crowd is increasing, man. Next election, he may become the, he may overthrow the king. They wanted to remove him. Apostle John, Peter, they were all speaking against the prince of the land. They were killed. Except the John the Beloved, who lived until the very old age, 96 plus. John the Baptist spoke against Herodias. You know, you can't marry your brother's wife. That's all. She got offended. You talk about me. Do you know who I am? I'm a queen. Nothing but the daughter of Athaliah. She could have become the daughter of God. But no, she said, I prefer to become the daughter of Athaliah. Because Athaliah is daughter of Jezebel. Jezebel is like a queen, the Babylon of the Old Testament. She killed John the Baptist. And she even forced her daughter to do that. She used her fruit of the womb to perform the dance, to deceive her married husband. What a shame, which happens now. When Lot was delivered, he had two daughters, right? His wife was taken, isn't it? Because she took herself. The Lord said, follow the husband, and the wife said, I prefer to be a pillar of salt, because you told me to become the salt of the world. She literally became the salt of the world. She lost her calling. But the father escaped with the two daughters. But these two daughters, they were waiting for the father to go drunk. When he was not conscious, when he was not aware of, they wanted to take the seed from Lot. Isn't it? They took one by one in two different days. Isn't it? And they became the two clans. Remember the name Moabites? Now I'm asking a question. Judah and Tamar, father-in-law, daughter-in-law, Perez all the way to Jesus Christ. What a filthy family line. Full of sin, full of shame. Kill them, destroy them. Good. Lot, seed was taken by the two daughters. Do not look at things physically. It's a type and shadow of what's happening to churches even today. The fruits wanted to boast and brag the tree, took the seeds and corrupted it, polluted it. And the family line of Lot. One good example, Moabites. Answer me. Ruth is from which family? Ruth is from which tribe? Which family? So can we say, the family of Lot is gone. So God's deliverance from Sodom and Gomorrah means nothing. Ruth from the family of Lot. So Abraham's prayer went in vain. Oh, is it? Oh, Abraham asked for a good deal. If there are 10 people righteous, do not destroy the land. Which land he was referring to? Which time he was referring to? Ruth came. She played the role of a virtuous woman in the fulfillment of God's promises in God's people. But she is a Moabite, not an Israelite. How beautiful it is. So, the seed of Lot was in prison, captivity. Nobody saw it coming for many years. Suddenly, there comes Ruth, who did what God wanted her to do and justified everything God did in the past. You think it's a mistake? Wake up. There is no mistake in God's calling. There is only process. Mistake is in our own flesh, not in God's calling. We make mistakes, not God. And he needs to turn into his everlasting mercy and do something to make it profitable. So can we say Sodom and Gomorrah is the most negative climax ever? God promised, God delivered, Lot came, poor Lot. What about Ruth? What happened because of Ruth? We will focus. So now, here, Joseph was put into prison. But the funny thing is, those two who were with him, they offended the king, they were also put into prison. Like company for Joseph. You know, has some company, discuss some stories. God had a purpose. Now read 42 verse 16 to 19. Same book. 15. Verse 15 to 19. Brother Clement, read this for us. Genesis 42 verse 16 to 19.
In this manner you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your younger brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you. Or else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put all together in prison 3 days. Then Joseph said to them the third day, "Do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined to your prison house. But you, go and carry grain for the famine of your houses."
Amen. Now, the previous chapter, 40 says, they were put in a ward for a season. Remember the word season? A season. And book of Ecclesiastes says that is season for everything. So season, some season the Lord wanted it to be allowed. So now, I want us to go to the seed and the seal. And just follow my request and just show it. Is it visible from the last row or the light has to be turned off? Is it okay? No. First image, yes. So now, I just want all of us to focus very carefully. Reflect yourself. Imagine the branch represents your life. You are called to live your life. Amen? You have to finish your life. And the life has certain benefits. Your wealth, your health, your reputation, your admiration, who you are, the name of your life, the person of who you are in the family, in your relatives, in your workplace. Everything, all of it. I put everything in that branch. Now, what if I want to coil around my life over and over and over again? I become the serpentine nature of my life, which I'm not supposed to be. And I hug my life so close. And the book of Ecclesiastes says, remember the Creator before the silver cord is broken. What if the Lord comes and hit that branch and break it? It could be your confidence in anything that you think. It's my confidence. We may think I'm a flying dove, but the Lord would see you are a snake coil around the branch of your life. So now, if the branch is hit, that branch will fall from the tallest or highest cedar of Lebanon, for example. Let's say the snake is coiled around on the tallest branch. If the Lord hit that branch with the lightning, tell me what will happen to the snake. Can it fly? There is no wing. It will fall to disgrace because the wheels of flesh will rotate the snake to go down. And will hit what? Will hit the rock bottom. But let's compare the verse, the flesh is weak and spirit is willing. The Lord has called us to be led by the Holy Ghost, to be the bird, to be the eagle that gather for the carcass, the word of the Lord, the essence of the Lord's message, the Lord's will in our life. If we are holding on to the life according to the grace that is given to us, just to place our feet with the gospel of preparation of peace, the gospel of peace, and use the branch for us to fulfill the work and fly whenever we need and come back whenever I am tired, come to the house of God, replenish yourself, revive yourself, renew yourself and go and fly again. Because the Lord said, bear my reproach, not inside, outside. Amen? If the life that we live on this earth, it becomes our sandal, not our master, because I must obey to God Almighty. Your family is not bigger than family of God. Your desire is not bigger than the desire of God. Your expectations are not greater than the perfect will of God. That spirit is willing. This is flesh is weak. That is spirit is willing. But when the Lord comes and strike the branch, when the Lord comes and strike the branch, the wings of spirit will help you to fly up. Whether I live or die, I am the Lord. I fly up. Whether I'm stoned to death or I am the stone of life, I am the Lord. I will fly up. Stephen said, I'm spending my spirit. Receive it, O Lord. And Jesus said, I will meet you up in the air, in the clouds. Fly up, as he sings the song, Wings of Faith. Fly up. Spirit is willing to go higher and higher and higher to the spiritual realm, to be seated in the heavenly places. But the flesh will desire to bring you down to the prison, to the dungeon, to the pit of darkness. Until the Lord strikes the branch of your life, you would not see it. Why? We may think branch is good. But there are two branches. One, Jesus Christ has a name. He is the branch. There is a branch which is part of the tree, and the Lord gives the time for that branch to be fruitful. If that branch is not bearing any fruit, tell you what will happen. He will take a knife or an axe. He will cut off that branch. He won't stop it there. He will burn it. Wheels of flesh fall down, wings of spirit fly up. So the prison that covers, if I cover my life with my flesh, I am the prison of my life. My life will destroy with me. What Jesus said, fear not the men or the world who will destroy your body, but fear the one who will destroy your soul and the body. The branch that carries, isn't it? The life that carries us to fulfill the work of God. Imagine the life of Moses was the river. The ministry of Moses was the ark. The same way child Moses was flowing in the river to be taken by the queen. The ministry of Moses was also flowing in the wilderness to be taken by God Almighty. If, only if, we are part of the river, the branch. Our branch, our life should not become our master. Because Jesus Christ has a name, the branch. Out of the stem of Jesse, there is a branch, Jesus Christ, son of David. He is my branch. He is the vine. He is the root. He is the fruit. He is everything. You are called to be part of the tree as a beautiful branch, as part of Him. There is no other branch outside the branch of Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God, which means the part of the Word must be inside the Word of God, not outside the Word of God. There is no extra revelation required outside Scripture. The Scripture is sufficient. So now let's remember the transformation that we all compare this to perfection of bride, but I'm not focusing on that. Since you know that you are a sinner, since that day until now, how many bad habits that you have given up? How much flesh that you allowed the Lord to be to prune? How much anger, pride, self-loathing, self-exaltation, arrogance, pain, depression, inferiority complex, superiority complex, whatever is not of godly? How much things that you let go is your growth? Not how many doctrines you know. It means nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Those doctrines are to prune you and to prepare you. If it did not do the job, those doctrines are nothing but vain babblings. Means nothing. Because when Peter said, repent and be baptized, repent and be baptized. Just four words, right? Let's go and try. Let's see how many people listen to the word and quicken. Same words, simple mouth, simple tongue. But how come when Peter says, everybody got pricked? Words of the Spirit. His words are spirit and life. If you are not anointed, your words are nothing but vain babblings. No power, no life, no light, no salvation, no redemption, no deliverance. The word is the key that unlocks the door of all the blessings of God. This transformation, the first few stages, I would say there are 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, also represents 8. New beginning. Good. Good captivity. That caterpillar, if it wants to be released in the third stage, it will die as an immature baby. 6th stage, sorry, immature baby will die. 7, no, wait for the Lord's time. Until the bride is revealed, it cannot fly. It's nothing but a worm or a caterpillar. And that good captivity is also a prison. Cannot escape. If you can't escape, you are confined. If you are confined, please check if it is by the word of God, or by the mind of your flesh. If it is mind of your flesh, my brethren, wake up. Go ye out of the Babylon. If it is the word of God, rejoice. The Lord will come and take you home. If we are in good captivity, it's pointing to growth for longevity. Which is longevity? Not, I will live forever. No. Steadfastness, long-suffering, endure until the deliverance come. Until the deliverance come. When the Lord break that branch, which is the process of your perfection, you will fly. Either you will die before He comes, or He will come when you are alive. Either way, you will fly. But until the day of deliverance come, that caterpillar is not a butterfly. Even if you have the wings, you are not a butterfly until you are released from the hold, from the yoke. That is good liberty. From good captivity to good liberty. The point is, we all want liberty. We hate captivity. But I intentionally put the same word. Good captivity, good liberty. So my question is, if God is good, if God is with you in captivity or in liberty, what does it make difference to you? My God is with me. Oh, brother, you are suffering. My God is with me. You are in the prison. My God is with me. You are in sickness. My God is with me. You are in ICU. My God is with me. He see me. I see Him. I see you. I see you, Lord. For me, I see you. What do you mean by worldly things? I am in God and God is with me. I am free. Good captivity, good liberty, no difference as long as it remains good. God is good. If it changes to bad, whether it is bad liberty or bad captivity, you better run away from the prison. Because the truth is, nobody locked you. Check your pocket, the key is with you. It's your own understanding. Destroy it. Self-denial. Deny yourself. Nobody has locked anyone. It is self-locking. Self-denial. Now, there is only one reason, our one Savior, who will come in His one season of redemption, one stage of redemption, because He has no reason to save you twice. He saved you once, it is done. Amen? One salvation. He is not one who stumbles. He is a stumbling block for others. He won't stumble. So now, these stages that represents the different stages of perfection. Now, we want to jump the gun and fly, but we don't want perfection. But the gates of heaven is extremely strict. We don't know who is standing at the gate. Imagine Michael and Gabriel are standing there, and we go there and we tell them, I was so busy, could not be perfected, can I please enter? I know all the doctrines. They can't even hear you. Because what you think is a dream, not real. We are called to be perfected. We have to focus on what is happening when the Holy Ghost sealed me unto the day of redemption. What is the personal change that is happening in me for the change of glory to glory? Amen? But what if you become so busy, I want to go to all the places to minister or all the places to preach. For example, let's say if I want people to be saved. I have the desire, right? I truly have the desire for the whole land of Singapore to be saved. Yes, it is. But the Lord also warned me, what if you become Martha? Correct, right? The time the Lord wants me to sit at His feet, meditate, to be soaked. If I, with my flesh, I have the desire also. I want to go and preach into my natives, everyone. But I pray to the Lord, Lord, what if I forget my process of staying inside the seal to go through the changes, to wait for the colors to come, to wait for the wings to grow. But what if I'm so busy? Then the Lord would say, Martha, 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 8 times. And He would say, Mary is changed into a butterfly. Why are you still caterpillar? Why are you so busy? So the rational balance, the discernment of, I serve the Lord, witness the souls, without compromising the perfection of the Lord in my life. Personal meditation, fellowship, witnessing, prayers, singing, praise, assembly, everything goes in hand. Together, nothing more, nothing less as it is. That discernment, you can't do it, I can't do it. That is why, whether there are two or more gathered, He dwells in the midst of them to give us the understanding. This prison, my brethren, if we try to escape, we will die. Because it is God's prison, God's captivity, God's ceiling, God's ark. It will work us for life. We must understand where are we, what's going on in our life. So now, the perfect time will come. When that comes, we will understand the redemption. Then you will realize sealing is not breach. So what is breach? Imagine, The Spirit of the Lord leads me just to pray for a week, do nothing. And my flesh would say, come on, you are a hero. Just go and save some souls. Go and preach gospel to people. I will do. But you know what will happen? Those 7 days, the Lord planned a pruning in my life. The Lord planned a growth in my life. But I forsook that growth in the name of sacrifice, in the name of witnessing, then I go out and I go and do something for the Lord. And I come back, this prophet has nothing, this prophet has nothing, I lost both. That is what the Lord said, Mary has chosen the right thing to do so, Martha become like her. But Mary also cannot say, I will only pray and will sleep at the feet of Christ, will do nothing. The Lord would say, Mary, what happened to you? Look at Martha. The Lord would speak both the ways, be careful. Huh? He would say both, why are you sleeping? Go work. If you keep on work, why are you keep on working? Go and sleep. He said, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he rebuked, hey, can't you watch and pray? 3 times. Then he said, okay, you go to sleep. He said that to the disciples, now you go to sleep, the time has come. So, what I should do, you don't know, just listen to the prison keeper. He is the keeper and the author of your life. So now this seed and the seal is what we have been studying so far. So now, a person is a seed of God. Amen? A land is a vineyard where the seeds are sown. Seed, seeds. If one person is put into prison, the door must be opened. If a group of God's people thrown into a captivity, and that captivity needs liberty, which means the king of the land must be overcome by another king who is anointed by God Almighty. But that time is over. Now we are waiting for only one king. And that king, he don't bow to anyone. Everyone bows to him. The King of Kings, he is coming. We don't need any earthly king to deliver. The heavenly king and the earthly king and the king of all, the son of David, son of God, the Alpha and Omega, he is coming. He is coming for the liberty of captivity. He is coming for the opening the prison of the people, which is our seal will be opened and we will be called back to him. Amen? He will take us home for the marriage. So now look at this. What happened to the seed and the seal? Last 2 years, by God's grace, as I was learning to study English Bible, especially King James Version, which I never studied before, the Lord put a thought in my heart, since I was humiliated by him to stand and speak the word, which I'm not worthy, the Lord put a word in my heart, speak for the new souls. So I started with foundation of God, then Ark of the Covenant, then wrath of God. Truth, purpose, and repentance. 3 main burdens which I focused as I was also learning and growing. Also, there must be distraction when the ship was hit by a storm. The Lord's servant was taken. All the adversaries will try to knock the door to create divisions, to create idol worship. Isam, the same very thing he was fighting against, they can come upon the church. Then I was praying to the Lord. The Lord spoke to my heart with so many experiences. Never quote a man, because I am not worthy to quote any man. But I can quote the Lord, the Son of Man, who can show mercy to me. Because I am not worthy. Who I am to quote the apostle who served and died for God's name for all his life. Who I am? Nothing. I do not want to disgrace his work. So I have surrendered. As long as I breathe, as long as I stand, may you bless me to speak and preach as it is. Every mistake, all the shame, fall upon me. Every goodness, all the goodness, go back to him. Isn't it? That is our life. We don't know whether who will be here tomorrow. That is the reality. So first 2 years, my burden was new souls, new souls, new souls. Nothing. But because of that, I also received message from many overseas. Speak about Branham. Speak about rapture. Speak about prophecies. Speak about this and that. Speak about doctrines. But I was given a clear instruction. Be naked. Be simple. Speak to the new souls. Then I realized the nakedness of the church will be uncovered when we embrace simplicity. Isn't it? Imagine we have 50 people, right? If there's a new soul come and sit in this chair, If that soul do not know the Lord, have no knowledge about Jesus Christ, if the soul is very hungry to understand 10 commandments, if I am anointed, completely submissive to God's presence, if I am that vessel, if I come to the pulpit, I can't preach what I prepared. I will preach 10 commandments, what the vessel wanted. It's not I decide, he decide. That is my desire. To preach whatever it is, what is profitable to God's redemption. Not profitable to me or to you or to the ones who are joining us. Everyone should have one purpose, to serve God and God's kingdom and to save God's people and be something that he wants it to be. That is my burden. I will live as the Lord wants to embrace that burden. If I am not worthy, he will throw me out. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is better to be thrown out rather than standing and be disgraced to him. That's it. As simple as that. So in that process, look at from the seed of Adam to Abraham, because you are a seed, right? Where Raleigh had a father. Raleigh's seed as a body was in the body of his father. When he was born, the seed of the father was manifested in flesh. Every one of us, you have grandfathers, great-grandfathers, you never know what they have been through for you to be alive and seated here. You never know. But the truth is, we know what happened to God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. The seed was kept in the captivity of God's promise, my brethren. Let it be a man or the land. God told Adam, be fruitful, multiply. But Adam did not do it. He was just giving birth to his children. From Adam all the way to Abraham, from 4000 BC to 1700 BC, so many things happened. Even the man who was made by God was not the one who lived long. It's Methuselah, 969 years he lived. And the flood came. Noah passed through the flood. He was not born after the flood. He was born before the flood. He was prepared for the flood. And not just that, he prepared the ark. He built the prison, the captivity, the seal of God by the guidance of God. He built it. Amen? After he built, he passed through the flood. Now, because he passed through the flood, Shem gave birth to Terah and Abraham came and Abraham was called. Now, how important was Abraham? He is called father of all nations. Even Adam do not have the title of father of all children. Because serpent would say, hey, I'm here, you know. You are not the father of all children. I'm sharing the right. But you can boastfully say mother of all children. Isn't it? Abraham was called father of all nations because God created the nation of Israel. And that nation of Israel will rule every single nation when he comes. Isn't it? The King of Kings, there will be only one name left. The new city, Holy Jerusalem. And we are the kings. If we are the kings, which means the land where you are planted is God's nation where we do the work. My brethren, King of Israel, King of a nation. Amen? King of Kings, which means the kings are called to rule the lands. Which land? Wherever you are planted. Every single fivefold ministry, the true worshippers of God, wherever you are a saint, priest, servant, king, whatever the Lord wants you to be, but you serve in the land where the name of the Lord will be glorified. The seed is continuing because it will keep on being passed to pass, one prison to another. Now what happened? When the seed and seal was preserved from Adam all the way to Noah, after the flood, the Tower of Babel was built and the Lord was unhappy. Hey, unity and oneness is beauty of my children. Why the enemies are so much dancing? Why they're building this Tower of Babel? Oh, since they speak same language, they are of one mind, there is nothing can stop them from what they wanted to do. God himself said that. Then he confounded them by introducing languages, for which we are also victims. I speak different language. If I speak my own language, I will speak even more boldly. Now I just learned a new language to communicate with you. And this language became a medium. But this language is not a knowledge. It's nothing. It's a sandal. Walking in a beach, walking in a hot sun, it's not language. Language is not knowledge. Knowledge is the essence of what we communicate. The word of God, the knowledge of Christ. So God confounded their language and he scattered them. Until we are united by the language of truth, we will remain scattered in our different prisons. So now, next one. Next slide. Yes. Now, Joseph, Genesis 39, chapter 40 and 42. Isn't it? We focused on that. But Joseph was put into a prison as a person. As a person, Joseph was put into a prison. But before Joseph, we had Abraham, Sarah, and they gave birth to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. Jacob overcome the battle of deception and took the birthright from Esau. And Jacob became the father of 12 tribes. And Joseph came as a man who was called to be a savior in those times. I put the lifespan of those servants of God just for a reference. Doesn't have to be accurate. But you can see 175 years of Abraham's life, around 180 of Isaac or 147 of Jacob. But Joseph lived shorter than his forefathers. Only 110 years. How many years Joshua lived? Exactly 110 years. They both had the same responsibility to bring the people from one place to another. Joshua crossed the wilderness. Joseph brought the people of Israel from famine to the land of honey and milk. Joshua did the same. They both lived and died 110 years. Now this Joseph was also put into prison. Now this prison is a person, right? Joseph was in prison. But the Lord did not open the gate until Joseph fulfilled what he was supposed to do in the prison. There was growth for longevity. There was growth for power. There was growth for authority. Joseph was growing because he was submitting. Now the seed and the seal as a person we could see in Joseph. But the beauty is, imagine those 11 other tribes of Jacob. If Joseph was used to be the savior of all the tribe, then the sons of Joseph should be the ruling the wilderness, right? But no, God called Moses from Levi. But if Moses was leader of Israel throughout the wilderness, then the sons of Moses should have the preeminence in the kingdom, right? No, God called Judah. But he called Benjamin first. He, the creator, if he has 10 fingers, he can use any finger to draw. Why? He is the one who willeth. It is not about the one who runneth. It's all about the one who willeth the flesh. But the Lord would say, no, it's all about the one who sheweth. What the Bible says? Joseph was in prison. The Lord was with him. Then he sheweth mercy. 39 verse 21. Isn't it? The Lord sheweth mercy. Now because of that, Joseph became a powerful man. Now let's see the consequence. The flood was sent to destroy the flesh, not Noah. But if Noah wanted to swim in the flood, by all means he can be destroyed. Nobody is stopping him. But God said, go inside. He shut the door. My question is, what if God shut the door, Noah was very busy in preparing something. Instead of 8, 7 entered. The one who built did not enter. Possible, right? Obedience. And the Bible says, Noah went in and said, God shut the door. God waited for Noah to enter. Because once God shut the door, no man can open. Once the grace period is over, how can we ask for grace again? Now, because of that, Joseph came. He was the mediator between Egypt and Israel. Amen? He was the mediator. When Jacob died, because of Joseph's power and authority, Jacob was buried with royal, parade. King Pharaoh sent all his horse chariots, and he was buried in a place that he was supposed to be buried. Because of the Lord lifted up Joseph. Now, in the river of what happened to Moses, the same way as the flood, as we focused on this 2 years ago, in very simple terms, Moses was inside the ark. He cannot escape, which is a small, beautiful prison made by the mother. So he was inside the womb, first prison, then he was inside the ark, second prison. Inside the water, first prison, floating over the water, second prison. So he survived because he was under God's promise. The word prison, I want to stress on it because Apostle Paul called himself as bond servant. He did not call himself as free man, like how the world people say, free man, free woman. Apostle Paul said, bond servant, I'm chained to the truth. So this river, the prison still survived, and in the wilderness, there was another beautiful prison made, which was used to seal what the Lord gave to people, the word and the manna, the bread. Ark of the Covenant, made of wood and gold. People had to carry that prison. Imagine. I said the branch that is your life, it carries you. Jesus Christ is the branch that carries my fruit. If I am filled by the Spirit, if I speak some word, someone is baptized, someone is healed, then the Spirit of the Lord brings forth the fruit of healing through this branch. Then the branch is fruitful. Amen? But in the wilderness, people were carrying the ark on their shoulder. Salvation of people was on the shoulder, the iron shoulders of God's called people. What Jesus did when he was healing a sick, four faithful men carried a sick on their shoulder. And Jesus saw them, and the sick man could not repent because he was not in a state of repentance. Could not speak. Maybe he was dead, maybe he was possessed, we don't know, but he was sick. Jesus saw their faith because they came, carried him all the way. Was it easy? There was no taxi those times. They were carrying him from the place where he was, all the way walking to Jesus, believing my Lord will heal, believing my Lord will touch him. The faith of those four men healed the sick on the shoulder. The ark of the covenant was carried by people on the shoulder, type and shadow. I must carry the work of the Lord, the burden of the Lord. Can't escape from the burden of the Lord. Book of Malachi starts by saying, the burden of the Lord came unto me saying, what we say, Lord, I want to cast away all my burdens in Calvary. It's not a dustbin to throw the dust. It's a place of repentance, place of ministry, place of servanthood, to go and cast away things that are not holy, or cast away things that are done, and embrace the new burden. Isaac cannot climb the mountain without the wood. Abraham won't take him. If Isaac says, my father, I have to play after tomorrow. Don't force my shoulder. Abraham would say, my God, my son is not worthy of sacrifice. Correct, right? Why? If he don't even obey me, how will he obey you? Imagine a child doesn't obey the parent. Can the child obey God? Impossible. But if the parent is evil, can a child say, I won't obey my parents? Because the Bible says, obey parents. But the Bible says, obey parents in Christ. There is no obedience outside the word of God. Everything has to be done inside the word of God. Whether it is father, mother, husband, wife, whatever it is. Obedience in the word of God. That's why Jesus said, I will turn you against one another. Why? If you embrace God, if you do not become the brothers of Christ, sisters in Christ, then if you become the earthly relationship, you will fight each other like prisoners. Look at what happened to Israel. Because the word was carried, the same way we are called to carry Jesus, how Apostle Paul carried him to the seven church ages, but he died. In the first church, Apostle Paul was died. No, he died. But the message could not die. The ark is still being carried throughout the seven church ages. Same as those seven priests who were marching forward before the ark when they were compassing around the city of Jericho. There were seven priests who were carrying the trumpet, blowing the trumpet when they're going before, not behind. Because they are forerunners. They were sent by God to pronounce, to create an awareness, to prepare the way. But the people are called to follow the ark. Amen? Can we say, oh, my favorite leader is friends, and I'm going to run into the friends. Uzzah was struck by God and he died on the spot. He thought he's doing good. But that instruction was not given by God. When the oxen stumble, ark has to be catched in a cot. There was no instruction. Uzzah thought, I think it's correct. He tried to do good, but God struck. God cannot strike if we do something against him. But that is also a lesson for people to learn. Can't do anything outside what God said. Even if it is a fault, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Next one. You see now, let me read this verse. Isaiah chapter 42, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 22. Verse 21, please. Verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. I was meditating on this word. Can the Lord be well pleased for his mercy's sake? Imagine we are sinners and we go and tell the Lord, I made this mistake, forgive me. The Lord showeth mercy. But can he be pleased of that mercy? Because mercy he is showing. And we made a mistake and we profaned his name. We receive his mercy. But how can I please him? Is what I do after I receive the mercy, it can please the righteousness of God. Then God would say, my mercy profited, I am pleased. But what if I misuse his mercy, he will be not pleased. Now, 21, I read, he will magnify the law and make it honorable. But this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in the holes, like a rat that keeps on digging the cave, thinking there is a way out. But when the mountain collapses, the rat will die under the cave. And they are hid in prison houses, for they are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith, restore. Who among you will give ear to this? Who will hearken and hear for the time to come? Who gave Jacob for a spoil, and Israel to the robbers? Wow! Did not the Lord, he against whom he have sinned, for they would not walk in his ways, neither were they obedient unto his law? Therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger, the strength of the battle, and it hath set him on fire round about. Yet he knew not, and it burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. What? Even after burn, yet he laid it not to heart. What does it mean? That is exactly why he was burnt. They repented not of their deeds, even when the vials of wrath was being poured out, because there was no understanding. So look at this prison house hiding in the hole, and the Lord says, none delivereth. But he says he will deliver. But chief musicians, David says, those who cry unto him asking for the deliverance, he will deliver. Those who would say, I am good, I love my prison, I love my beautiful prison, the Lord cannot hear, because you did not ask. What is that to you want? Ask, it shall be given to you. Knock, it shall be opened. Seek, you shall find. Now let's read 24 verse 22. Book of Isaiah, 24 verse 22. I want to finish with the timeline again. It will be repeating. Repeating is good. It will be etched in our mind. We must understand the time. It is grace. Chapter 24 verse 22. It says, and they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and they shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days they shall be visited. Why? After many days they shall be visited. What is the season? What will happen during these many days? Why they will be visited? What will happen when he visits? In what way he is coming? As a deliverer, as a redeemer, or as a judge? Depends on when the prison gate is open. If the prison gate is open during the grace period, we survive. If it is open after the grace period, ready for tribulation. Not any tribulation. Great tribulation. We must die to go again. We don't want that. Nobody wants to show our power. My brethren, if we take his hands off, I'm telling you, we can't even bear a simple fever. We forsake God. But if he's holding on to you, even when you're stoned to death, you will sing song. It's because of him. He is your strength. Let's do not take the grace period lightly. I'm telling you, it is coming to an end. He's coming. The end is here. The Alpha, the beginning of the end. The Omega, the end of the beginning. He is here. He is here. He's coming. Now, I want us to focus on the second one, the file second one. Yesterday, I showed this simple map, what shall I call it as? Like a inverted sharp stone. I said that is Israel. Forgive me for being a terrible artist, but I will show you it's actually accurate. So now, I ended at Joseph, right? Joseph's lifespan, 110 years old, he died. After that, captivity began. 430 years plus, they were in captivity, right? They were multiplying. But when God formed the United Kingdom of Israel, there was no division. Because Saul was the king of Israel, but he is from the house of Benjamin. We went through this sometime back for Isaiah, Hezekiah, but now we go through this for Jeremiah. Because the sermon is rooted around the character of Jeremiah. So this division, because of Israel and Judah, it happened around 930 BC. After Saul died, after David became king, after Solomon became king, you could see what happened here. So now, let's look at the vessels of God sent to the kingdoms in those times. So Jehoiada was a priest in the days of Joash the king. Remember, the six-year-old boy who became a king. Jehoiada, he removed Athaliah. After he anointed King Joash, Athaliah was killed. Athaliah is the daughter of Jezebel, who was performing the ministry of Jezebel, which is what? Hunt and kill the seeds of God. But I said, the seeds of God are sealed. Unless the seed comes out and declare boasting, bragging, Athaliah would say, thank you so much for coming out of your seal. Now I can kill you freely. But if the seed is hidden, who was hiding Joash? Jehoiada. Who is Jehoiada? High priest. Who is Jesus Christ to you? The high priest. If he hides you, do you think Athaliah will come and find you? No. If you face so much battle with the enemy for no reason, check your feet. Maybe you have one feet inside, one outside. Or else the devil has no reason to disturb you. It's just toying with you, playing with you. No. We can embrace the battle of the enemy if it has some food for salvation. If we are simply being tossed and thrown, do not become the toy. God would not allow his David to play with Goliath. Either he goes to a battle, get injured, but get the job done and come back. But he will not go and play tennis with Goliath. No, over and over again. Jehoiada was the priest, destroyed Athaliah. Next, Ahijah was the prophet during the time of Jeroboam. So Elisha came in the time of King Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, who had to submit to Jezebel. Because of him, he became an abomination. Elijah was searched to be killed, but Elijah did not kill Jezebel. Elisha did not kill Jezebel. It was Jehu who ordered the killing of Jezebel, who fell from grace, who fell from the top, like Judas. Now this divided kingdom, as I said, is a divider, which means God can hold one kingdom and draw a circle, or hold the other kingdom or draw a circle. He can define the territory of captivity. That is why I put this divider symbol quite some time back. I thank God my father is a mathematician. So I learned this from him. He taught me this. The Lord can use your good to show the bad, or he can use the bad and show your good. He can work both way around. All he wants is to understand who he is. Flesh and spirit must be separated before you go home. Now, Amos, in the time of Zechariah, Azariah, remember the priest? Because Uzziah thought, hey, my name is also Azariah. Can I be high priest, please? A king should not offer the sacrifice of high priest. Uzziah wanted to be all, because people were exalting him. What a mighty king, Uzziah. Yoo-hoo! And Uzziah said, let me take everything for me. Hey, my name is also Azariah. So I will become the high priest also. And high priest Azariah said, he came and he rebuked him. The leprosy broke out of his forehead to showcase the filthy mind, a lack of understanding. The king who did not obey to the King of Kings, he became a leper. We gone through this in the series of garment. Now Isaiah, the prophet, sent in the time of Hezekiah. The previous two servants, they were not prophets, but they were high priests, Azariah, Jehoiada. Correct? But this is a prophet, not a high priest, Isaiah. One of the most important books in the scripture that resembles the entire scripture. I love the book of Isaiah. Because if you read Isaiah, you feel like you watch the trailer of the movie Bible. One book that showcases a glimpse of the whole Bible. That is the book of Isaiah. That's why God told him, you walk naked, okay? Because my my fulfillment is coming. Jesus Christ will walk on the Calvary. Daniel, the man who was wise enough to interpret everything and set the tone. So that is our friend Jeremiah, the one who always smiled. He's here, smiling prophet to the flesh, weeping prophet to the spirit. He came around this time, and this king, my brethren, Josiah, we have to study about his life when the time comes. But remember, he's an important king towards the end of the kingdom, before the mighty fall happened. He ruled 31 years, but look at others. He ruled 31 years. After him, Jehoahaz barely 1 year. Jehoiakim around 10 years. Jehoiachin 1 year. Zedekiah around 9 years. But Josiah was about 31 years. He was holding. What do you mean? King Josiah was holding the season. Now you see, every king that God sent, they were holding a particular season. Like what happened to the prison of a person, or the captivity of a land, because something is happening inside that caterpillar. Something is changing. The Lord was allowing changes. Every king had a different ruling period because they were going through a season. Now, this Jeremiah, he came around this time. Why? Zedekiah was the last king of Judah before the Lion of Judah comes. Who is Lion of Judah? Jesus Christ. But there is a long time to wait, which means the same 400 plus years of captivity is going to repeat. What happened in Egypt under the rulership of King Pharaoh will repeat before Jesus comes under the rulership of the kingdom of Romans and all other kingdoms. Now, because of what Jeremiah prophesied, this kingdom was taken into captivity to Babylonian. That is where Daniel Nebuchadnezzar comes. Right? Now, but before Judah went into captivity, Israel said, we will go first. No, we will see you on the other side. They went first. Before Judah went into captivity, Israel, they ran the race first. That's why I told you, if you want to run faster, be careful. Are you running into captivity faster than you are supposed to be? As if, surrendering yourself into captivity? Or are you waiting patiently upon the Lord's promises? So now, look at this map. That inverted sharp stone is exactly Israel. Correct? So it's not a bad art, no? It's actually very accurate. So this Israel, imagine this Jerusalem is at the border of the map. But who draw the map? From Mount Nebo, the Lord sent a land surveyor called Moses. He showed him all the corners and he was drawing the map, right? God was telling him north up to this kilometers, south up to this kilometers. He was drawing the territory of Israel. And then God said, so sorry, surprise, you are not going there. Took him. But that is not the physical land I'm focusing on. What do you carry in your hand? The spiritual Israel. The word of God, the promised land, the Lord of my Sabbath, I will enter into him. He is my promised land. I must go through the river of Jordan. I must go through the Red Sea. I must go through something. Some through the water, some through the fire, so be it. But I must enter into him. The Eve should go inside of Adam, not outside. We can't go and take a photo. The Lord, come inside of me. So now this Israel, my brethren, I want you to remember this shape. This beautiful shape of a knife, a Swiss knife or a sharp stone, whatever it is. This shape, it is here. You should know where Israel is located. So Israel is here, okay? Now Nazareth is here, Jerusalem is here. Now you will see, if I tell you Jacob, he looked like this, you would laugh at me. You would throw all your books at me. If I say this is Jacob. But if I say this is Israel, oh yeah, of course. But the Jacob name is Israel. So now I want you to remember, I'm representing Jacob the man and Jacob the land. I'm representing Israel the man and Israel the person. Okay? So now this person, surrounded by water or land, they are here. But this is Israel today. But how they were in the past? Let's go to the kingdoms as I close. Now last Sunday I showed different kings came, different kingdoms came, but this poor land of Israel was always inside. The punishes were changing. Rulers were changing, but the prison gate was still locked. They were waiting for the King of Jews. They were not waiting for the King of Kings. That's a big difference, you know. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Jews wanted their king. They did not want to share with him with anyone. They were so possessive of the books of Moses. Tanakh, Torah, Ketuvim, Nevi'im, I showed all of this before. The five books of Moses, all God promised, they wanted to hold on to it. They were so possessive, they became a cult. God does not like that attitude. He is the creator of all. They could not embrace. And God had to put them into a prison. Why? So that the breadcrumb will be thrown into us, the Gentiles. If there was no kingdoms ruled Israel, my brethren, they would have destroyed every single kingdom in the name of destroying heathen. I'm telling you. You know the kings. They were so powerful. They were so zealous. But the Lord says, they will drag you out of synagogue and they'll kill you thinking they do service to me. It is also applicable to Jews. Everyone were put into a place, into a corner. They were thrown into a confinement until the very last seed of Jesus Christ is redeemed. The Lord would do whatever it takes. Because he is not answerable to anyone. He is answerable to what he spoke. And that word will fulfill what he spoke. Because the word of God has submitted, surrendered, and had power against. Now look at this map. Now next go to the... Look at this. The prisoner, safe and sound inside. Correct? First kingdom, Assyrian kingdom. Full screen, please. Okay. Is it PDF? Full screen, please. It's okay. If you can't do it, it's okay. Just leave it. Okay. So now, second kingdom, Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar came. I want you to remember this. From where Abraham started walking? From this corner all the way to Ur, Chaldeans, Haran, and all the way to this way, right? When Babylon kingdom came upon Israel, they took people from where they are and they brought them back where Abraham was in the first place. In what way they came, the same way they were dragged back. But that time, Abraham was one single man. But this time, people were taken as captives to Babylon. And Daniel was here. But the seed of God can go here and there. But the promise of God will have the preeminence. And this prison, still inside this prisoner. Next prison, which is Babylonian and Medo-Persian. King Cyrus, who came to issue decree. They took over from Babylon. And fortunately, in a blessed way, in a good way, whatever you call it, they were still in the prison. Which means all the kingdom, they came and they tortured them, tormented them, but they did not destroy them. They were keeping them. And they are still there. And they will be there. They that bless Israel will be blessed. Because God has put his promise in them. Because of them, we are all here receiving his salvation. Scripture, Apostle Paul spoke about it. Look at what happened to the outside, the walls were keep on changing, the gates were keep on changing, but Israel was in a confinement. The next kingdom, Persian kingdom, after that should be Greek. In Greek kingdom was still inside, and Alexander was ruling everywhere, and he died. Every mighty king of the earth will go to the dust. The King of Kings is coming. And Romanian kingdom, they were still inside as we studied there. Now you see the prison of the person, the captivity of the land, either it is covered by four walls or covered by four countries. Or three countries, one side of the land, water. That happens to Israel today. Now the last one is the Mongol Empire. You could see they are out. Nice, right? That is why there is no need to record this in the scripture. It happened in 1200 AD. Because they were outside this. They were allowed to multiply to the point whereby Holocaust was waiting for them. You know how cruel it is for them. They thought everything is over. They are becoming so powerful, multiplying, thinking about everything. Then when the Holocaust came, this time they were not taken as captives. They were killed. We cannot say they made a mistake and they got killed. No, it's because of us. It's because of us. Every single soul that was to be redeemed, to be saved, many people paid the price. knowingly or unknowingly, they were all part of God's plan. By obedience or by disobedience. Amen? The last one. Okay. So now, I pray the Lord guide us as we continue the series. We understand where is Jeremiah. We have not touched the book of Jeremiah today for a reason, because I wanted to cover the word seed and the seal today. That is the title of the sermon today. The seed and the seal. The promise of God and the confinement in your life. It will come to manifest. Amen? The Lord will guide us. So let's remember all of this. We will continue this in the next weeks as well. And we will go deeper in Jeremiah. Remember where Jeremiah is? The last king of Judah before they went into captivity. That is where Jeremiah came. So the Lord gave him the burden to foresee what's going to happen to them for the next few hundreds of years. And Jeremiah could not hold on to the burden. He became a weeping prophet. May the Lord guide us. Without the burden of God, we cannot be the church of God. Let's all stand as I close. Dear Lord, the only seed, the only life, the only wine, the only root, the only fruit, the only light, the only Savior, the only Redeemer. Lord, we humbly bow before Thy presence, O Lord. May You help us to understand the work of Thee in our lives and grant us the spirit of discernment, spirit of truth, to ask what exactly You want us to ask You and to do what exactly we should do and to speak what exactly what to speak and to keep silence when exactly we should keep silence and to do everything according to will and pleasure. Deliver us, O Lord, from our very own flesh. Deliver us, O Lord, from our very own mind. Deliver us, O Lord, from our very own captivity. And deliver us, O Lord, from our very own expectation, our very own sorrow. Deliver us, Lord. We all need Thy deliverance. Open the gates of the prison of the world. And Lord, may You throw us into the prison of the Spirit. May You seal us by the mighty hand of God Almighty. May we be the bond servants of Christ until the day You come and take us home, O Lord. Help us, Lord. Do not release us, O Lord, in the world of filthiness. May You help us that we hide and find cover in the strong tower. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Shalom.